When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What do you have, boys? Low. And welcome to Tales with TR, episode 202A. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. Good to be with you. I'm with you today from Toronto, Ontario. The Royal York, the good people at Bell Media, thank you very much. You never know. When I go to these things, I've been doing a lot of events. And I'm never picky on where I stay. Usually they're charity events. And, you know, obviously there's a fee I get paid. But, you know, if it's the vast majority are fundraisers. So I'm fine with whatever the cheapest airfare is. And I'm good with a motel as long as I have a bed. But once in a while, people step up. In other words, I'd never ask for anything other than that, you know. I'm glad I got the traveling so much. I didn't know about this Air Canada lounge. I didn't really think much about it before. I didn't have the means to get in there. But I didn't realize you just pay $500 a year to get a certain credit card that you can go in there. I do so much traveling. I was like, $500 a year, it's worth 10 times that. If you think about the food. Where's food most expensive? Fucking airports. Really? It's up there anyway. So fuck, every time I'm in the airport for one meal, I don't know. It's a better part of $100. So no matter what, Toronto Airport, a fucking ham sandwich is $24.99. Like, fuck, you need a couple of those. At least, whatever it is, sandwich, fucking sushi, whatever, pizza, it's all expensive in the airport. So if you just do the math for 1 month for me, I'd spend more than $500. And when I go to these events, it's one of the questions, I'm going to answer some questions today, as I'll do every fucking episode A, to be honest with you. Why not? Sometimes I ramble, but there might as well be a point. But anyway. Cheryl in Ottawa wanted to know that when I travel, what are the details? Well, the details change. There is a fee that can change though. You know, some events are different than others. some events make more money than others. So where was I? Yeah. But pretty much every event, yeah, I wouldn't do it if they didn't fly me in and put me up. Meals, usually half and half. I don't go to hell with it. I don't give them all the receipts or anything, but, you know, that's usually up in the air. And, but yeah, the vast majority, I can't think of one example right now that the people that are bringing me in don't fly me in and get me the hotel or whatever, right? And then there's a fee, and that's usually how it works. This weekend coming. So right now I'm recording this on Thursday. Tomorrow I'm speaking in Sarnia. Speaking to a group about teamwork. It's the theme of their, it's a union. I should know the difference. I forget exactly which union, although that's not really important. What I'm talking about to the group, they wanted to know about teamwork. I'm sure they know about it. Examples in my life, right? So the obvious is like playing hockey on the ice, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on off the ice. Shorzy's a good example of that. Obviously, what's happening on the screen is usually the result of some level of teamwork, as twisted sometimes as it might be in the Shorzy world. A lot of it's about team. Shorzy might seem at times crude and selfish, but really it's about the team. It's where he thrives in a dressing room. Actually, I'm going to write that note down to myself. Yes. Shorzy appears selfish, but it's about the team. Anyway, I'll do that. Last week I was in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and I was being asked questions by Craig Adam, myself, and Jeff Hodgers. That's always the best I find and the easiest if there's a group for someone to be asking me questions so I can be half organic about the answers. You know, there's just more flow to it that way. I find if I have a speech written, I often miss things people want to hear about. You know, a lot of people want to hear about Shorzy. Some people don't give a shit, right? Sometimes it's a group of Canadians fans that want to know about what life was like with a glimpse of life inside a Canadian's locker room, right? Maybe could be, there was one group I spoke to, a school, and, you know, grade eight is like right on, it's right teetering on that fence, right? Maybe they've seen Shorzy, maybe they haven't. My daughter's in grade eight. I let her watch it. I just explain, you know, obviously there's extremes here, but you know, I'm not going to wait till you're 19 to watch this show that I'm in because there's, you know, there's sex, violence, drugs, all of the above, but whatever. Penny Lane, this is what that's about. This is what it is. Let's not be awkward. Let's watch this and have some fun. She loves it. So where was I? Yeah, so like, you know, I don't always know exactly what I'm going to talk about. Tomorrow I do. It's a straight-up speech. Two of them, one at 11 a.m. and one at 7 p.m. Half hour to an hour each. And you know what? Jerry D helped me with that. I do get some questions on, you know, the public speaking. Be honest, when he started, when he helped me, and I did some stand-up comedy. I don't so much love stand-up comedy because I'm really just telling stories. But I did learn, like, you know, how to speak in front of a crowd maybe, and better anyway. I mean, I always did it to some degree, but definitely that helped me the most doing stand-up. And, like, helped me interact with the crowd a little bit. I wasn't great at it. I went with Jerry D. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, Jerry D is pretty prominent comedian here in Canada, and he's a host of Family Feud. He had a show out called Mr. D about a teacher. It's pretty funny. But he could go and not even get into his act. He'd get up on stage and start riffing on what people were doing or wearing or conducting themselves in the audience, ask him a few questions, and I've seen him do it. I've seen, like, go into a place and not even really get to any of the jokes that he wrote, right? Just be side-splittingly funny, just reacting with people. And that is a phenomenal talent to have, which of which I don't possess it. Once in a while, I'll pull out a nugget, right? And it's more about, I think, having that hockey training, how to answer a chirp, you know? But, and by that, like riff on, you know, kind of like Shorzy. I don't have those kind of great, awesome chirps, but, you know, give me a time and a situation and a beer or two. And I would probably see the chirpier things about a certain heckler. Not that I got heckled a lot. That didn't really happen a lot. People just shut up or don't react. It did happen, but I got heckled and chirped way more in hockey than doing stand-up. Anyway, doing the stand-up, yeah. So a group tomorrow knows I'm coming and wants me to come in, so they're gonna want to hear stories. They're going to want to hear hockey stories. But not everybody in the stand-up world did. Jerry said, you can open for me all summer, which I did. Half dozen dates in Canada at big event, at big arenas, like 4,000 and 5,000 people. It's pretty nerve wracking, actually. And I get real nervous for comedy because, again, you're not guaranteed that people in the audience are even know much about the game. The odds say in Canada they will, but they always don't. They often don't. And I learned that the hard way. I remember once, man, there was 11 people. But yeah, Jerry said, you know, you got to keep going. You got to practice. This has nothing to do with your question, Maria. Jerry said, you got to practice if you want to open for me. And I really needed to because I didn't have much money at all coming in, and I needed to send it home for Penny Lane more than anything. So I would go to these, like, to practice, and he'd want me to practice. So I'd go, like, downtown Toronto on, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday to a place called the Comedy Barn. Or Yuck Yucks or whatever, right? And just someone didn't show or something, right? I'd get up. And I remember once it was a huge rainstorm, like real, real tropical kind of rain, a lot of wind. Nothing life-threatening, but it was just a shit night to be out. And there was a Snoop Dogg con. It was at Richmond. I'll never, ever forget this. It was at Yuck Yucks on Richmond Street in Toronto, which is real close to the nucleus of downtown. It is in the nucleus of downtown. But it's like maybe a 10-minute walk from Scotiabank Arena, Rogers Centre, all that stuff, CN Tower. Just to give you a mental picture where I was. So, I was 11 people, and Snoop was playing next door, so it was the 11 people were like spill-off of that. Now, I love Snoop, but if you were to take, you know, a poll of everybody that was at that Snoop concert. You know, do you guys want to see a stand-up comedian talking about hockey? There would probably be less people at that concert that were into that than there would be at the Leafs game across the street, right? So, I love Snoop. It's just hip-hop and hockey. Sometimes they go together. You know, I'm some dude from Newfoundland that's got a mic, that's nervous as fuck, that they didn't really pay to come to see. They just came over. It was a shitty night. Snoop Dogg got out early. There's not much on the go, so they dropped in. So there's 11 fucking people. And my first thing I would say, look, I'm not offended if you guys, I'm a one-trick pony. I got hockey stories. If you're not into it, I'm fine with that. And you can just, you know, look at your phone, do what you're going to do till the next act. And usually people would like, give me at least a minute benefit of the doubt. Let's see what this guy got. 8 people of the 11, I know because I counted them, 8 people of the 11 looked down and got on their phones right away. So now I'm entertaining 3 people. Trying to. I look up and I'm like, Jesus, man, what do I do here? I look over at the guy that's basically producing, you know, he's playing the music, he's running the, there's also, if you're up on stage too long, which often happened, there's like a red light pointing at you and say, in other words, get the fuck off the stage. And I'd fucked up there a few times. I went in like an extra few minutes, fucked over the other comedians, didn't mean to, just no rhyme or reason. I would get up on stage often with just, Hey, you want to hear the Mike Milbury story? Just like stupid shit. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I'd be halfway through. Once I was like not even halfway through a story and my time was up and I had to get off the stage. So there was no laughter because I wasn't even really halfway through the story. It was with me, it was often about the punchline. At the end of that story, I say, Mike, I fuck her for 5 minutes and I speed home. If you don't know what story I'm talking about, Google the Mike Milbury story or just buy my fucking book. The first one, Tales of a First Round Nothing. Anyway, right? So like, if I don't get to say that line, it really doesn't even seem like a comedy act, right? And I wasn't even, but there's certain things towards that punchline. There are some funny things that happen. But I was like explaining the draft and everything, and I hadn't even, I hadn't even gotten to the hotel room part of the story yet. Like nothing was happening. I'm sure people were like, "What? Who the fuck is this? And why is he up on that goddamn stage? Am I at a comedy club? What happened here? Where am I? A seminar for the public speaking wannabes that have no idea what they're doing?" Anyway. What was I going to say? Yeah, that happened, right? And the three people left weren't laughing at all. They didn't find any of it funny.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Okay, I'll get to the real questions. What do I even talk about? You know what I did today? I woke up. This is literally a question from Blake in Prince George. You actually want to know, hey, TR, what are you doing today? So here's what I'm doing today. I've got to write that speech for tomorrow on teamwork. I do have an idea. I think I could wing it right now, but I'd rather be sure that I have some substance to fall back on. I'm going to do that. I have an audition for a guy named Davey Danger. And it's some weird dialogue to say the least. Pretty sexual, really. That doesn't always happen in an audition. I don't know how I'm going to go about it, but yeah, this is definitely rated R. If it's not, it's a porno. It's a really odd thing. But anyway, I'll do that. My buddy's coming over to film me, so I'll do that. I'll record with my guest this week, and that'll be tomorrow. That'll be one of three or four buddies that are probably in the area. So I got to fly by the seat of my pants some weeks like this, right? I'm here to do a press junket for Shorzy, which is, so it's hard to schedule guests. And I'm going to go to Bootmaster. I'm getting a tattoo from Curtis Montgomery this afternoon. Check him out on Kurt Montgomery on Instagram. Very well-known and respected tattoo artist. He's a big Shorzy fan. I got to know him last year. Those of you on my Insta, I guess on Shorzy, they have to have my tattoos. On my left arm, I got two skulls. He's got a really unique way about him. Just go to his Instagram. He's got like 500,000 followers. Did Joe Jonas, I know that. A few other celebrities that Halsey, I think. Not that... You know, that matters. I'm just saying, you've probably seen his work. guess it does matter. Yeah, you've seen his work out there in public. I know that. He's been featured in many magazines and the like. So I'm going to go over there and do that. And Bootmaster is an awesome boot place. Most people would think that cowboy boots are probably most plentiful out west in Canada, and they probably are. They'd probably be right. But this place in Yonge Street in Toronto is a little bit north of the Eaton Centre. I can't speak highly enough about it. They got the funky stuff, right? Like the ostrich skin, alligator skin, snake skin. You know, all that stuff. They got like oracles. And if you were to outfit your character in Red Dead Redemption, you would want to go to this place. The jackets and the hats, and it's really cool. So I'm going to go there and pick up a funky pair of boots, I think. But other than that, yeah, I got to come back. And I'm busy. I got to do some things for the Jason Greger show. And while I'm here in Toronto, there's a lot happening, right? So if I'm ever going to do, I don't know. If a sponsor is interested in podcasting or whatever it might be with me, you know, a media post or whatever, or if I have an agent here, an acting agent, David Ritchie and Megan from Megan McGuire from Ambition Talent. So I'll probably drop in on them because, you know, you can do a lot from home. I can't wait to get home and see Penny Lane, but a lot of what I'm involved in is either directly or indirectly here in Toronto. So I always take advantage of these days. What you see when I post things is like maybe having fun and with my arm around Jay Onright or Jesse Pollock from Bar Down or whoever, TSN or Sportsnet. But those are the result of in interviews usually. So there's a level of work to it. It looks like a lot of fun. And it is a lot of fun. But it's usually like, this week, I've just been going place to place to place to place. Thank you, Rachel Newman, by the way, with Bell Media. Did an awesome job. My PR gal taking me around and getting there and being well fed and all that stuff. It's awesome. Hardest audition ever. Bobby the Bee in Penticton. Hardest audition ever? Jesus. I don't know. There's so many, man. I really don't know. And I'm not the best at auditions online, which sucks. I'd rather do it in person, which wouldn't have been the case at the beginning. When I started to audition for things, I did not want to go in and do it live. But unfortunately for me, when I got in there to do it live, I found even just a little bit of human connection helps. If it's online, it's just you online. It's a one-way conversation. It's you recording it, sending it in. And most things, the vast majority nowadays, are online, especially since the pandemic. So most of my acting experience, at least in the last half decade, before that there really wasn't much acting stuff, has been online. But I have, there are auditions in person, few and far between. And before the pandemic, they were all in person, all mine anyway. So I enjoy that, at least go in. And there's a level of humanity before it starts. Hey, guys, how you doing? My name's Terry Ryan. You kind of spit some things out from your resume as opposed to type it. You know, how do you want me to do this? I've played a bad guy, actually mostly, you know, maybe give them a little bit of a background, take my tooth out. Guys, I can do it with the tooth out or the tooth in. Often I'm auditioning for a gangster or something of that sort. So people will opt for it out. And then, you know, when they see that you can do that, there's just something, even though it's only taking a tooth out, it's a completely different look for whatever character. Maybe they have an idea for a character in the future. These people you're going in to see are casting agents. They're casting directors, right? So it's not going to be their last gig. They get to see you in person. Whereas, of course, there's a similar approach when it's purely online, but when it's just digital and they're just watching a face on a computer, I don't care what you say. It's just not the same. The hardest audition ever is going to be the one I'm about to do when this podcast ends. I'm not kidding you. It's like highly sexualized. One of my lines is, hey, baby, I'm fucking hard. Okay, go from there. Not that that's overly hard. Difficult, I suppose. It's whatever interpretation that you're going to add to it. So that's, it's like 5 pages long. That's just one line. It's highly sexualized. So again, an audition in a hotel room by yourself is not always the best, you know, no feedback. Now, Ryan McDonald, guy who plays Michaels, is an actor. He's a good one. I mean, as you know, he's an actor, but he's been an actor for a long time. And he'll come over and help me. But anytime you've got a, so yeah, that won't be the hardest ever, to be honest. But, you know, they're sexualized is always like, oh, how am I going to go about this in this day and age? And anybody that, any character that I don't really understand when I read it, and this guy I don't quite understand, Ryan's going to help me with it, because then you don't really know where to go. So, like, hardest audition, there's been a few like that. Like, if I don't, like, I remember there was one I was, I can't remember, but it was like a librarian type. It was a clean cut. The guy seemed to, what's the word? I mean, it just didn't seem like, which is, it can be fun as an actor. But if you told me straight up exactly what it was about this guy, I could probably even get into it, but I just didn't understand the character. So I said, okay, like, is this guy extremely clean cut and he's good? And is he good, or does he turn kind of bad? Is he conflicted? Is there something on this guy's mind? You know, it was like a lot of downtime. Some characters you can just right away. Hitch, right? When I read it, I'm like, okay, it's hard to separate Hitch from myself sometimes, but I could still, like, I knew who Hitch was, at least on the surface, the first day I was reading about him. But so, yeah, some just come in, and I guess that's why great actors are great actors. And I'm probably not a great actor. I'm trying to learn as I go, but some of them, yeah, I need help with. That's just the way it goes. I think everybody would need a bit of help, but some I have no idea. I'm a fish out of water. I'm a non-swimmer in the deep end in some of these, and this would be one today, right? So you just reach out, talk about teamwork. There's an example. Ryan's like, okay, I'm going to come over. We're going to figure out this guy. Beyond that, Bobby the Bee, thanks for listening, by the way. Any audition where you've got to cry, is that's tough, not easy to cry. And then there's reasons. Well, what's the reason that this character's crying? Like, I told you guys about my situation on Frontier, the very first scene of Frontier, I'm begging for my life. Well, I did that audition, and I went actually right out to the casting director's. Her name was Danielle Irvine. She was awesome. She called me and said, come out to my house and let's go through this. She teaches acting, and she's great at what she does. I didn't need, like, she told me right off the bat, she gave me some hints on how to do it. It was like a crash course in acting that afternoon at her house. But I had to, like, cry. And the reason, I remember her saying, because I'm saying, please have mercy. Jason Momoa has me tied up and he's ready to slit my throat. He's beaten me up. That's why me having no tooth kind of helped in the audition, right? It's often about a look. So anyway, he's already after beating me up. And I'm saying, please have mercy. But I remember Danielle saying, you're not saying, please have mercy to stay alive, Terry. You're saying, please have mercy because you want him to kill you quick. You don't want this to be drawn out. You don't want to suffer. You just want death immediately. So that adds, even though it's slight, that adds a little bit of a different approach to this guy. Okay, he's angry, he's frustrated, he's begging, but he's not begging for his life to be spared. He's begging for a quick death. So that's one subtle difference, but it is. And I remember talking with Danielle, she made it seem like it was a world of difference. She pointed out, you know, and how I was going to approach it, and like a level of anger mixed with astonishment, mixed with tragedy and death, and, you know, even though it was a few seconds, but that's why they're great at what they do. I wouldn't know how to approach that. I mean, there is one way that you'll probably react, but even though these are quick scenes, you're still playing somebody else on TV, right? So anyway, those things. So and to go back, sorry if I'm boring anybody here, but Bobby, it is a great question. And I think now that I've explained it out, I find a lot of this is like therapy. I answer you guys' questions and I really don't know the answers myself until I start talking. I think they're all hard to a degree. If you're doing your, if you're, as they would say in hockey, given 110%, then each character requires some level of understanding. And if you give it everything you got, you know, most are equally as challenging, at least in my world so far. I got to be honest. You know, each time I open up the email and I download the file and I read about whatever character it is, there's always, there's always like a level of, well, first of all, you got to remember the lines, and that's not always easy. Today it won't be easy. There's a lot of them. And, you know, it's open for interpretation, so you got to digest it. And some, I suppose, are easier than others, but for the most part, they're all challenging. Okay. What's your favorite Stones album? Okay. Jimmy in Texas. Okay, Jimmy, my favorite Stones album is Beggar's Banquet. There's a lot. What's the one? Is it called Exile on Main Street? I know, I think that's supposed to be rated their best. They did it in some castle in, hold on. Let's go. Exile, it's Exile something. I should know this. I had half a joint too, so I'm creative minded here, but I'm slow thinking. Stones, Rolling Stones. Yeah, Exile on Main Street. So I think critically, Exile on Main Street would be probably considered their best. I don't see it. I think that's really, if you were to read about how it went down and, you know, Keith Richards at the peak of his heroin addiction, his drug addiction in general, I think they were, they'd just been arrested and they were kicked out of their own country, I believe, which would be England. Maybe the, I think it's recorded in the, maybe the south of France, maybe in a castle. Anyway, I should know more about it. It's the Stones. I know that much. But I'm not really into it. Like, I guess it's considered at the time, the way it went down, the fact that it got recorded at all among such chaos, a roller coaster of emotions. They were upset at each other. They were probably considered to be at their peak or close to it. There was a lot of friction. There was a lot of love as well. There were women, there were men, there were, there was just a lot going on. So I think that maybe adds to the luster of it. But my favorite is Beggar's Banquet. A, because I love the song Sympathy for the Devil. I think it's a masterpiece, as is a lot of the things the Stones do. I talk about the Beatles. I love their songwriting and everything. And I think they were awesome, of course, and world-changing and all that. But I don't talk about the Stones much when it comes to that. And though Jagger and Richards didn't write on their own until McCartney and Lennon talked to them, so they were big influences, the Beatles, obviously. But when they did, they were great. Sympathy for the Devil, just the title is beautiful, right? Just think about those words. One sec. So, yeah, A Street Fighting Man, Jigsaw Puzzle, Prodigal Son. There are some bangers on there. God, I love Street Fighting Man. Jigsaw Puzzle is not even a, I don't think it's one of their bigger known songs, but one of my faves. I like the album, and I like, there's something to be said about track sequence. It opens with, boom, right? Sympathy for the Dead. It opens on top. Some build up, some start at the top. you know, given that they probably realized that was going to be a big single on the song, on the album. And, you know, they went with it. And it's just the order of the songs, the way they come together for me. You can really hear them start to be, the Stones are really start to evolve as songwriters there. Like 5 years before that, they were barely writing any songs. A decade before that, they were, you know, 1962, I think Banquet was in 72. They were just getting going. They weren't writing any songs whatsoever. So to me, yeah, it's you could argue whether it's their peak, but it's definitely a big part of their evolution as songwriters. The album, see, for it. So for me, I had to check, but I was like, does Sympathy for the Devil open the second side or the first? Because often with the vinyl, I listen to it on vinyl the most, and I forget what side one is side two. But that's what I thought. Side one, Sympathy for the Devil. So it opens with a bang. Side two opens with Street Fighting Man. Right. And just, I'd bore you if I went through every single song, but you'll see like the way they're arranged, which, you know, for me is as much nostalgic as it is important in the music world. I just listened to it a lot as a kid. So, you know, I'm biased that way, but that's my favorite Stones album. Okay. TR, where'd you get those boots? Great interview on TSN. So, and this comes from Marmaduke. I just told you that place Bootmaster where I'm going later today. And thanks for watching. That interview on TSN with Jay Onright was awesome. I've been a Jay Onright fan. I think he's funny. Everything we talked about earlier, a lot of people are either love Jay Onright or not. Or I can't say hate, but, you know, just reading Twitter and stuff, you know, you see people's comments. But I think he's real creative, man. He's one of those guys out there. He doesn't just, you know, he's not just sitting behind a desk saying, reading out the sports news. He's adding a layer of levity to it. He's real creative. He's branched off on his own four or five times. The show I was on with him is his own little segment that he has there. You can throw anything at him and he'll be witty about it. In person, he was exactly what I thought. You know, this guy could be a stand-up comedian. I should have asked him if he ever did it. But you know what I was talking about, Jerry D, earlier? Another guy great at that is Mark Critch from Son of a Critch. This hour is 22 minutes. He's probably the best I've ever seen. But Jay's like that. Everything. We were talking for probably 20 minutes before I went on the air, like sitting in those chairs. And real smart, real witty, exactly what I thought. And I've been following him closely since his book, Anchor Boy, tells his story. And it's pretty funny, actually. It's pretty funny. Came out right before my book. So I remember having a lot of questions. There are similarities. So I remember like going back and like comparing before mine came out. One of the things was length of chapter. You know, a lot of people are going to the can and you want to put the chapters 5 or 6 minutes. So, yeah, so they can go to the bathroom and be educated. No, I don't know if reading my book is educated. Be entertained there. Okay, I'm going to take off now, guys. I got a lot to do. Like I said, I got to write a speech and do this audition. Thanks for listening. I'll have a great guest. I really will, either later tonight or tomorrow. Just don't know who that's going to be yet, but I'm sure you guys are used to that. If you're downtown St. John's, why not drop in and check out some awesome bars, awesome restaurants? I'd start with Trinity Pub for sure on George Street. If I was going to make my way up world-famous George Street, I'd check out TJ's Pub for sure, the Martini Bar, Rob Roy Confusion, Green Sleeves, and of course the Bull and Barrel. If I was going to go for a bite to eat, I'd go to Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, or Blue on Water. Also, for sure, I'd try out Peter Wedgwood Cafe in the East End. If I was in the East End and looking for a meal, they also do catering, so check it out. If I wanted strength and balance for the body and mind, I'd look no further than Ryan Power on Ropewalk Lane. Power conditioning, strength and balance for the body and mind. If I wanted to go to Mr. Lube, right, get an oil change, maybe change my air filters, maybe check out, get my tires rotated, whatever, I'd go to Mr. Lube, and I'd go, there's two locations in Mount Pearl, in St. John's. One's on Torbay Road. One's on Kemmel Road. Live, laugh, loop. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com to see what all the fuss is about. Did I leave anything out? True Hockey, take what's yours. And I guess that's it. God, I'm slow on my feet here today. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. And I want you fellas and girls, guys and girls, to have an absolutely phenomenal weekend. I think I'm going to be at the Leafs game on Saturday. Follow along. My Instagram, TerryRyan2020. If you want to check out the view from my angle. Thanks for listening. And I'll be back in just a few days with more Tales with Tier. Catch you on the replay.